Good morning. It is good to be with you all this morning. I want to thank the eldership of the New Boston Church of Christ and Kevin. I want to thank you all for the invitation for family and I to come out here. And it is a pleasure to be with you all. Last year, probably just a little over a year ago, I was able to come in for a Sunday night service. We were on our way. A couple of the kids and I were on our way to Camp Ida. And our son, who preaches at Broken Bow, the van broke down. And it just happened to, it worked out that we passed through here right around Sunday evening service time. So we were able to enjoy some good worship and fellowship with you all. So I'm not completely new to the New Boston area. But it is great to be here. And again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Brother Trevin, you did a fantastic job. I thank you so much for the encouragement that we all received in class this morning and speaking on the topic that you did. And the challenge to us is to present God's Word in such a way to encourage each and every one of us to continue to stride, to thrive within our families, within our homes that God has given us. And I pray that I'll do that justice. And of course, not based on John's words, but based on God's Word and the living Word of life. A gift from God, God's home. How many of you, when you think of a gift, what do you think of? I was thinking about this lesson and going, okay, I want to illustrate a gift. A gift that is pleasing in your sight or in our sight. And if it's Christmas time or birthday time, well, there's nothing like a beautifully wrapped gift. And I neglected to bring a picture of a gift to be able to present it on an overhead. But just this morning, God provided me with an illustration. And if you look at this pretty little baby with the yellow bow over here, that is a beautiful gift, beautifully packaged. I love the bow. So that's my illustration for this morning of what a beautiful gift looks like. For me, I don't mind if I receive a gift in a Walmart plastic bag, and it could be scotch taped. I don't care. The top, the little, the handles could be nicely tied, but it doesn't have to be. But I know that many of us enjoy a gift that is well thought out, well planned, prepared, and well packaged. God does that for us with our homes. But our gift that God gives us in our homes comes in varying sizes and shapes and colors, and yet God wants us to enjoy it just as much as another varying gift God has given another family. Last night, we had the privilege, as we're coming into New Boston, we understood that my daughter-in-law was sick, and they live up in, like I said, up in Broken Bow, and she had to come down to Texarkana for a problem, and she had to go see the emergency room. Well, we were, and she's doing great, by the way, so they made it home last night, or this morning, but just so by chance, we had to watch three of our grandkids last night. Oh, bummer. And so we were at the hotel over here. We had a chance to just spend a couple hours with them. And Kevin and Mary and the family and our family went out to eat. We brought the grandkids with us. But before we left and we said goodbye to the kids, I got four hugs from my granddaughter, each time saying goodbye. Wow, that's so much fun. That's a beautiful gift from God. She kept coming back and saying, I love you, I'll see you later, Pawpaw. What a blessing, what a treasure that I'll never forget. Or when the little three-year-old says, I love you, Pawpaw, I miss you, before he even says goodbye. It's sweet, it tugs on my heart, it's precious, it's a gift from God. Or when each of my nine children, or each of our nine children, have different names for me. Pops, Dad, Favio. I mean, they just list different names that they give me, and I know each and every one of them are individual and well thought out. Again, I'm thankful to God for that rich gift that He has given me. And especially my precious wife, a gift from God who has stuck with me through thick and thin for 30 years. And through the various transitions in our life with the military and then getting out of the military life and all the changing of jobs and careers, she supported me the entire way, even when I've come home grumpy, or even if I've woken up grumpy, or if I've been grumpy for 24 hours. She's been there as a precious gift in support of me. God gives us gifts, and one of the greatest gifts is the home, the family, the treasure that God has given us. Like I said, I love a well-wrapped gift, but it doesn't have to be. And I know that my family enjoys those well-wrapped gifts. I remember as a kid waiting before Christmas, always the postman going to deliver a package for me from grandpa or grandma or somebody like that. The excitement builds up. The excitement is there. And with God and His delivering of a family to us, He never disappoints. That gift is never disappointing. Sadly, when I was about 15, I was given a gift, and I had wanted a letter jacket for high school. You know, I was played varsity basketball, and man, I had to represent that, and I needed to be very proud of that moment. And so I wanted that letter jacket, and so I could put my varsity emblem on there or whatever it was. And I got that gift, and I was very pleased with that. But I looked back at that moment also because Mom and Dad were having some difficult times, and I wasn't able to receive much more than that. I felt like I was a little spoiled brat looking back at that, that my folks had wanted me to receive that precious gift that I would long for, and they gave it to me, and that I was wanting more than what they had already that I had asked for. We need to be content with the gift that God gives us. This morning's lesson, we're going to look at least three different texts in regards to the responsibilities that we have with the gift of the home that God has given us. Now, there are many responsibilities that we have, but we're going to look at three responsibilities and how to handle the precious gift of the home that God has given us. If you would, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And here's the beautiful account of Hannah. Hannah, who is not bearing children for her husband, Elkanah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that Hannah, being a maid servant of the wife of her husband Elkanah, is going through some difficult times because she's not bearing children. The Lord has closed her womb up. And she is oppressed in spirit, as the text says in chapter 1. She is greatly distressed. She has wept bitterly. Peninnah, who is Elkanah's other wife, has many sons and many daughters. And she rubs it in. She rubs it in real good with Hannah. She doesn't let her forget that you're without a child. And so, a lesson for another time, Peninnah and her gifts that she has received from God are not using them, not being very joyous in her gift, in the gift that she has given her. But she has been given by God. But Hannah, who, as the text says, has this rival in the other wife, she is sad-hearted. She would not eat. And she's just, even as Eli sees her praying, and though words are not coming out, he is looking at her saying, "What, is she drunk? I mean, let's just add insult to injury here for Hannah and looking at her life. She wants a child. She's longing for that gift. This is how she felt. That she felt as she talks to Eli, the priest, that as if Eli's looking upon her as Peninnah has in the world around her, that she's worthless. She's at the bottom of her life at this point. Yet Hannah prays, and she prays fervently. And as she explains to Eli that she is indeed not drunk, she has not drank wine or any hard drink, she is praying to God. Eli says in chapter 1, verse 17, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She had peace with this situation. She had peace with God, as Eli had described to her, "Go in peace." And we find later that she does conceive, and she gives birth to Samuel. And what we see, which is a beautiful, beautiful prayer of Hannah's in chapter 2, gives us our first responsibility in a gift, and that is in our receiving God's gift. In receiving God's gift, we need to receive God's gift, and in this case, we're looking at our home joyously. Hannah says in her prayer in chapter 2, verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn, or my strength, is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Receiving a gift should be joyous. It should absolutely be joyous in regards to the home. Again, as I had mentioned, there's many shapes and sizes of gifts that we are given as far as the home and the home setting. But we need to receive that gift with great joy. I always remember a story that my father-in-law tells. He, and I may not say it word for word or verbatim, but it's a funny story in which he tells of his secretary. My father-in-law was in the dental supply business. He was a manager, and his secretary tells a story where she was in the hospital and she gave birth to her precious son. And this was probably back in the 60s or so, and back in the day when the nurses would bring the child to the room and then take the child out back to the nursery. And she had said from the beginning that, "My son, I loved him so much, but he wasn't the prettiest baby in the world. You know, he could have been prettier, but I sure loved him, and he was precious to me." Well, one night as the nurses were delivering their babies to the moms to take care of them, to feed them, she received this baby, and she goes to the nurse, "This isn't my baby." She's very, very sweet, "but this is not my baby." And the nurse was like, "Oh no, I'm sure this is your baby." And she's thinking, "Well, I'll just look at this pretty little baby for a little while because I know they'll get this right." And within a few seconds, she hears another mom down the hall screaming because she has her baby. And she knows that, well, this baby's not as pretty as my baby was. But she's like, "Oh, she's got my baby. Can I have my baby now?" So, though her baby, in her mind, she even knew she wasn't the prettiest outside feature, beautiful baby, she loved her baby. She received that gift joyously. Secondly, within our responsibility of receiving God's gift, we need to respect who the gift is from. And we see that again in Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, verse 2, says, "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." She identifies, she knows the source of the gift, and that is from God. And God does not give gifts that are not usable, that are not lovely. She understands that this is a treasure from God. And God is perfect, and the gifts He gives are perfect. But thirdly, within the responsibility of our receiving God's gift of the home, we need to receive it with the mindset that it's long-term commitment, that this gift of the home is intended to live beyond our life here on this earth. Hannah does what with Samuel? She commits Samuel to, let's just say, the ministry, to being a priest, to working under Eli for the Lord's purposes. And she does for a time, for every year, she comes and sees Samuel, who's with Eli. She understands that with this beautiful gift of the home, of the child that she has received, as she's received it joyously, and she understands who it's from, that long term, needs to be a long term commitment with the gift of the family. I pray, as we look at the country that we live in, a country that continues to be tattered and torn and beat up, that we, as the family of God, as we of God's children, will see that the commitment we need to make as parents, as grandparents, for our children and our grandchildren, is that we may not see the day the Lord's church grow and strengthen in this country and build even stronger relationships with the community. But we got to understand that we may not see that change here on this earth. While we're here on this earth, that we need to be in this for the long haul, that the generations beyond us will carry the torch and win souls for Christ and see homes become stronger for the Lord. We know the stats or the statistics on divorce. We know the statistics on broken homes. I'm not going to go and review the stats with you because they change every day and it feels like they get worse and worse. But as the children of God, as we have been given the gift of the home and we receive that gift joyously, let's make that long-term commitment together to share the good news with our children, to instill God's word through VBS or through whatever various youth programs or family event programs there are, so that foundation of theirs, the foundation of the future generations, are just as strong as ours, if not stronger. That's our first responsibility in the gift of the home, the gift that God gives us, and that is in our receiving, how we receive God's gift. But secondly, and if you will, turn with me to 2 John. 2 John. Secondly, we see that our responsibility in the handling of God's gift. And handling of God's gift. John, the Apostle John, writes to the church. And in verse 1 it says, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children." And I believe this is written to the church. And as we see, it's written out to the chosen lady and her children, it's not specifically to maybe one family. But there are family principles within this writing of 2 John that we could apply in the responsibility of handling God's precious gift and God's gift of the home. First of all, we see in verse 5 that we need to handle the gift of God, or the gift from God, in love. We need to handle this gift in love. It says, we'll start in verse 4 and following. It says, "I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from our Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." We'll stop there in the text for now. But in love, we need to handle this gift of the family. In love, we need to love one another. We need to love other families and encourage them to keep working, to keep striving, to keep growing. And secondly, under the responsibility of handling God's gift, we need to walk together with our gift. We need to walk together, be side by side with our families, with our wives, wives with our husbands, grandparents with grandchildren, dads, moms with their children. This is a family event called life. And we need to walk together as we treasure these gifts, as we joyously receive them. We need to walk. But thirdly, in the handling of God's gift, we need to protect the gift that God has given us. And we see this in 2 John also. As we read on from verse 6 following, it says, "And this is love, that we walk according to His commandment. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Brethren, I don't need to say this, but the beautiful gift that we have can be stripped away from us. The beautiful gift we have of our family and our salvation ultimately, we have to protect that. We need to train up our children. We need to train up our families to protect that, to know that that is the most precious gift that we have, is the family and the salvation that we have in Christ, and not to let it go. And we could do that as we handle this gift in love and as we walk together with that God's family. Satan wants to devour us. We see that in 1 Peter 5:8. He walks around wanting to steal away, to break down the family fibers, to tear away at the foundation of our families, our faithful families. Yes, it's a dangerous world we live in, but with Christ and being in Christ and with the family of God, and as we encourage and edify one another, you can't take that away unless we choose to allow Him to take that away. We see that the responsibility in receiving God's gift, the gift of the home. We've seen, secondly, the handling of God's gift through 2 John. And that's, again, the gift of the home. But thirdly, is the proper usage of God's gift of the home. And if you would, turn with me to Psalm 127, Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Or pardon me, verses 1 through 5. We'll just read the entire psalm. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." As we look at this responsibility of the responsibility of using God's gift properly, we see that first of all, it is to His glory in the proper usage of this. We use God's gift, in this case the family home, to glorify Him. It's His gift after all to us. He wants us to use it properly to glorify Him in all that He has done for us, all that He has done for mankind from the beginning of time as we know it to now and for until Jesus comes again. It is all to God's glory. Secondly, we need to have understanding that there is some assembly required with this gift. We know in Proverbs 22:6, that was brought up in class this morning, we need to train up our children and train up our homes in the way that they should go. There's nothing like getting a gift and being able to instantly pull it out and, all right, let's go. It already has batteries. It's already assembled. I don't have to do anything with it. But that's not always the case. God gives us, and with the family, that is not the case. God gives us our treasures, but we need to build them up. We need to work with them, develop them intentionally to glorify God, intentionally to look at souls around them as either lost or needing the Lord. Intentional living, intentional training for our children. That's proper usage of the gift that God wants us to have, of God's gift of the family. But also we see in the proper usage of God's gift that all aspects of the gift are utilized. Yes, I've got a lot of arrows in my quiver. It's been mentioned I've got 9 kids, 7 grandkids. But if you've got one child or 21 children, the responsibility is the same. And each arrow, each child has a purpose, has equal value, and each one needs to be utilized to the glory of the Lord. It doesn't matter the number. It matters the proper usage of each gift. In 2 Kings 13 through in 2 Kings chapter 13, in verse 15, here is Elisha. Elisha's, the prophet, is going to be dying here soon in this account. But he is with Joash, the king of Israel. And it says in 2 Kings 13, and we'll start with verse 14, it says, "When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' Elisha said to him, 'Take a bow and arrows.' So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, 'Put your hand on the bow.' And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. He said, 'Open the window toward the earth, toward the east.' And he opened it. Then Elisha said, 'Shoot.' And he shot. And he said, 'The Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them.' Then he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel," this is Joash, "he said, 'Strike the ground.' And he struck it 3 times and stopped." So the man of God, being Elisha here, the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times." I bring up this account as an illustration. Joash had more than 3 arrows in his hand. He didn't utilize all of them. And as God has given us our family, God has given us this beautiful treasure, this gift of the family. Each and every member needs to be utilized to the glory of God, to defeat Satan, to win souls for Christ, for the furthering of the gospel around the world, for the furthering of Christ to future generations. Don't stop when you feel like you need to stop. We need to stop. We don't need to stop utilizing God's gifts. We need to keep utilizing, using them properly, each and every one, because each and every one of our family members, each and every one of them are precious in His sight. It is tough when children or family members choose not to do God's will. It is tough. It's a sore spot. It's something we don't wish to talk about at times. But we need to talk about it with our friends, our brethren in the church. We need to encourage one another to not stop, at least trying to encourage that wayward child or that wayward family member to come back to the Lord, because they are of use. We do so through prayer. We do so through meditation of God's Word. We do so by just opening up and talking. But we shouldn't give up. As long as there is breath in that person. Let's not give up. I've got family members in my life that I feel like at times I just want to give up because they're not wanting to serve the Lord. They're not wanting to put on Christ. And I've got brethren there that are like, I understand, John. Let's keep moving forward, though. Maybe there's another way of reaching out to them. If it's a parent or a sibling or even a grandparent, God wants them to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 5, God wants all men to be saved. But using God's gift properly is our third responsibility that God wants us in regarding to the gift that He has given us. Brethren, families are perfect in God's eyes. Not all families experience wonderful joy and such. We have a wonderful, blessed family. But even we put the fun in dysfunctional sometimes. All families have difficulties. Each and every one of us experience difficulties, and we need to encourage one another to keep fighting the good fight with our families. To keep huddling up. As another poor sports illustration, but huddle up, call the play, and do it again. And when we get called for a penalty, brush it off, huddle up again, call another play, and keep pressing forward to the goal. God loves us. He's given us a precious gift of the home. And we need to encourage each other. As a family here, the family here at New Boston, the family where I'm from at Brown Trail in Fort Worth, the family that I was from up in Denver, and all the families I've been a part of and you've been a part of, the family of God and your families at home are precious. We need to encourage each other to keep working together and encouraging each other to take God's home and the gift that we have, and to receive it with great joy, to handle it with great love and walking together, and to use it to God's glory, to use our gift to God's glory. There may be someone in the audience this morning, a member of the Lord's church, that is struggling. I encourage you to bring your cares to the brethren. May not necessarily have to be right now and in public, but I encourage you to not dwell on the struggles that you're having. It may not be family related. It may just be a struggle that you're having individually. Bring it to the eldership here. Bring it to the family of God so that we can pray for you, so we can lift you up in prayer and see where we can meet your need. There may be some visitors here, some guests here, or people that have been attending for a while that aren't in the family of God, the most precious family on this earth. A family that is protected and is given hope that we have a waiting place for us upon this life, a waiting place that is for eternity with God. If you're wanting to put on Christ, you put on Christ through baptism. We hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 6:47. We confess that Jesus is the one and only Son of God and the Lord of our lives, Romans 9:9-10. Repent of those sins that are just chewing us up, Acts 17:30. And then we are baptized for the remission of our sins, Mark 16:15-16. And then we get to grow in our salvation, 1 Peter 2:2. Family of God is the greatest gift of all because it's given from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, established that day on the cross as He perished and His blood flowed from His life so that we can have eternal life. I'm excited that the New Boston congregation has put together this lectureship on the home. I'm honored to be a part of that. And I hope you're honored to be a part of the family of God here. But if you're not, I encourage you to make that decision to get to know God. We don't know our days. Our days are numbered, but we don't know those numbers. Our days may not even be days. They may be hours. But God wants you to be His child. I encourage you as together we stand and sing our invitation song.